I suggest we start again. We remain with Fernando. He's going to lead us through IBOR reform.
So the objective today is to give you a quick update on the IBOR project and also to request for further inputs on potential phase two issues that might arise in the next phase of the project. So just to remind, back in July, we consulted with this group and we considered that the input received in our project plan and timeline. So now we have finalized phase one, and our focus has shifted to phase two, and that's why we wanted to have additional feedback from you on what could be this potential issues in the next phase. As you know, the reason for splitting the project is because we identified in the beginning some issues that were more urgent. Those issues were all related to hedge accounting. So last month in September, the board issued the amendments addressing four hedge accounting requirements. One of them is the IAS 39 retrospective assessment was as a result reflecting the feedback that was also received from this forum. And then in September, we discussed with the board a preliminary list of issues, which has been included in these slides, that reflects the main areas that we want to focus. I don't intend to go into the details of each issue here in the interest of time, but I just wanted to highlight the rationale that we used to define the order that we are going to discuss these issues. We thought that we should start with derecognition versus modification, because this would have some knock-on effects in other areas. So following the derecognition of financial instrument, you have the recognition of a new one, and then you might have some assessments that are required only at initial recognition, such as SPPI, embedded derivatives, and then some potential impacts in those areas. There's also some knock-on effects for hedge accounting purposes. So when you derecognize a financial instrument, that's a trigger for discontinuation of hedge accounting. There are also some questions about changes in hedge documentation. So when you have the new rates available in the market, entities might want to change the documentation to reflect the new hedged risk. So this is also something that we want to consider. And then there are also other effects in other IFRS standards, such as leasing and modification of leasing contracts. And just a final remark here. As you see, the scope of phase two is much broader than phase one. But that doesn't mean that all these issues that we have listed here will result in amendments to IFRS standards. When the accounting standard provide an adequate basis to account for an issue, and the result, the outcome, provides useful information to users, we don't see any reason for changing our standards. So with that, I think it brings us to our input request to the ASAF. So considering the preliminary scope that we have listed in this pack, we are asking whether you have become aware of any additional potential issue that should be considered as part of phase two of the project. So with that, I would like to open for discussion.
Rieko.
We understand broad issues are being considered in phase two. We believe assessments should be done to see if any relief is really needed or not. If the transaction is directly affected by the reform and that changes are made, then the transaction could be relieved. Also, we believe relief should be provided only if the substance of the transaction is the same before and after the replacement. In addition, we suggest to the ISB consider the work being done by the FSB. It's useful to have consistent principle and consistent scope of the transactions to be relieved. Thank you.
Yara?
Yes. Well, first of all, let me mention that we are grateful for the phase one, for the board having had the extra meeting in August to allow us to rapidly proceed with endorsement procedure. For the list of topics, we had the list of topics attached to our draft comment letter that was prepared with a collection of input from constituents for which we didn't have a view yet formed. So the list is consistent with the list that you are considering. So we consulted our CFSS members, and they don't suggest to add topic, but on the contrary, the most recent input is that it may be too many for the time frame that we have to face, because sometimes in 2020 there may be a point of switch, because entities will be forced to switch to the most liquid market. So again, we have a time pressure to be ready for it. So the suggestion would be to focus on two, three top issues. Try to adopt, if it's possible, a more principle-based approach, trying to solve the most prominent issue, which is to avoid disruption in the edges, and maybe the recognition, modification issues or collateral issues to this main purpose, to get continuity in the edge accounting. And then finally, I think I agree with you, Fernando, that maybe with the analysis we may conclude that the other issues are more implementation issues where an appropriate accounting policy could help to solve.
Paul?
Thank you. We're also grateful for the speed in which phase one was completed. We just hope it gets endorsed as quickly, whether that's in the UK or at a European level. We've got similar views in terms of prioritisation, and I think it is important that we really focus on the issues which are most urgently needed to be sorted out, and therefore clearly it's the hedging arrangements on changing from one rate to another. And then not the sort of get everything sorted out if that's going to risk delay, because I think there are a lot of issues or key issues that need to be prioritised and dealt with quickly.
I think that the key issues people are touching on are mainly to do with hedge accounting, if I understand correctly, and
yes.
Is it derecognition or not, which are sort of close cousins of one another. It's slightly different because you've still got derecognition questions even if you're not doing hedge accounting, obviously. Mm. But I think that is the lion's share of what's here, really. I mean, you've been very disciplined because you've listed all of the subtopics, but I think most of the subtopics here, other than the stuff on business model and SPPI, we would need to think about, even if we're primarily focusing on those two issues.
Yeah.
So I think that's okay, because I'm not sure it would be great if we were starting to think about a phase one, a phase two, and a phase 2A or B, in terms of consultation, overload, and also multiple changes and endorsement processes and everything. But I'm not sure that there's too much of a disconnect between the two, actually.
No, I think what... so we did try to capture the questions that we would need to look at on those things, but the two main topics are the modifications versus derecognition question, because that is going to affect everybody, and then related to that, the hedge accounting questions. And we think we first need to talk about modifications and derecognition, because depending on the outcome of that analysis and what we decide is the right answer for that, that will have an impact on how you deal with the hedge accounting questions. And once we've dealt with the hedge accounting questions, we would be in a better position to say, okay, but what happens now at the end of relief? So depending on what was decided on hedge accounting, how do you account for the end of phase one relief now that you are clearly out of the uncertainty? And so I think there's really three topics we will discuss. But, yes, there's a lot of questions underneath each of those that, you know, if you answer this question, then it leads to that question. And, you know, I think the team has been working on a sort of a flow chart to take us through what is the most useful way.
Maybe it's a case of presence. consultation, because if that's the intention, that's great. But I think there is a risk that people will look at this as a large shopping list and then think it's going to take a long time to get through the process.
But I think it's also, I get that, and we do need to be careful with messaging. I keep telling people, don't worry, we know this is urgent as well, yeah, and we're working as fast as we can. But I think it's also important that people don't think that the modification / derecognition question, the hedge accounting question, are two simple questions, because there's lots of layers of things that you need to go through.
The Chair.
Thank you. Actually, very quick comment that actually we submitted our comment letter on the ED several months ago, and our financial instrument team just want to make sure whether their comments in the comment letter just in phase one or not, because generally we agree all the proposals in the ED except one, the point. The case is that because in some cases the variables or terms associated with IBO may be implicit in some contracts, that the hedge risk is not just interest rate risk. So it may also be affected by the interest rate benchmark reform. So in the comment letter, we suggest the board pay attention to such cases. So we just want to make sure whether this issue was addressed or not. If not, we suggest to include it in the phase two. That's it.
Carla.
Thanks, Hans. So most of what you have identified in the paper, the region AOSSG agrees with, and some, and this might be just phrased in a different way, and you might have already thought about this. Obviously, the issues relevant to hedge accounting, particularly like the effectiveness flowing transition to the ARRs, the reliable measurement requirements, the impact of contract modification. In a full classification measurement, some of the things that was identified is like the deferral, day one profit or loss, layering of the swaps, and the expected credit loss and impacts of fair value measurement due to change in methodology and, you know, the hierarchy as such. So some of the things that the constituents had identified, and one of the things which I raised in one of our the breakout sessions, which I understand the urgency, but the region also, I wanted you to sort of consider at least the modification issues that were raised at IFRIC, and if possible, but I also, you can look at it while you're addressing the modification issues here, but I understand that due to timing, it's, you know, so you need to weigh out the urgency versus that, so I totally understand, get that.
Gail?
Thank you. So we agree with the list, and we would add a couple more, particularly around leveling 1, 2, 3 guidance on when you slip out of, if you're already in 2 into 3 because of the liquidity of the existing LIBOR, so some guidance on that. We would support you looking at what the FASB is doing in regards to certain types of changes and whether they trigger automatically derecognition or whether they're acceptable as not being a trigger, so we would ask you to consider that. And, you know, given the urgency, as you said, there are some items that you can discern an answer by looking at the existing standard and maybe not have to put out relief. And then also, as China indicated, consider multiple exposure hedges, so currency interest rate hedges at the same time that are being hedged with one instrument at the same time, and how relief might be provided in those circumstances.
Jeho.
Carla already preempted our comments as a working group leader, but nevertheless, let me provide our comments in more detail again. We believe the more emphasis should be placed on the modification of financial assets. We remember the IFRS Interpretation Committee tried to address this issue before, but it was not that successful. Back then, the IFRS Interpretation Committee admitted the importance of this issue, but decided not to extend this matter to the amendment IFRS 9 and IS 39, citing that it cannot be solved in an efficient manner due to the significant time and resource requirement and its complexity. So as we are urgently preparing for the IBOR reform, I think it is necessary at this moment to review whether to maintain Interpretations Committee's opinion on this issue. Thank you.
Ross?
So the FASB, the comments on the FASB's phase two have not started to come in yet. But as they come in, I'll commit to have the staff. If there are certain things that are raised by our stakeholders that are asking us to expand phase two, I would expect those would also be applicable to your phase two project, so we'll share that. One of the unique things we did in this proposal that I don't think we've ever done is we put a sunset clause on. So we say we'll give you a relief as of X date, but that relief goes away as of Y date. And so what we started to do is to communicate to people that philosophy, which is new. And what we've discovered is that the LIBOR change in the U.S. is not as well known amongst the corporates as I would have expected at this time. And so a lot of companies are discovering that this is changing, and they're just beginning to really understand the impact at the corporates. The banks know about it. The major banks know about it. Some community banks are just now learning about it, but the corporates, at least in the U.S., are just now learning about it. So I think as they become more aware of this, we may have a situation where more activities come online. But we'll continue, I'll ask the staff to stay in constant contact with your all team so that we can make sure we're aligned.
Thanks. I'd like to suggest that consider impacting IFRS 13 in fair value measurement because of the valuation approach, level 1, 2, or 3. Maybe a financial financial instrument could have a different classification after IBOR reform, just to consider. Thanks.
Sue?
Can I ask a question? So a couple of you have mentioned IFRS 13, and I haven't looked at this in detail, but my sort of assumption was that you could use the principles in IFRS 13 to work out what level you were in. You might change level as a result of what was going on, particularly in this transition phase. So are you suggesting that we need to look at it to provide something very specific on LIBOR because you can't work out what to do based on the current words?
Gail?
Sue, I agree with you. I think the principles are there, but our constituents are telling us that they would appreciate additional guidance and potentially, I guess, maybe even relief somehow regards to the leveling. But I agree with you. I think, you know, it's a judgment call, and you should be able to work it out as you do with any other instrument that kind of waffles between 2 and 3.
And maybe it's just one where, like, business model, we need to just confirm how we think the words apply.
Okay. Fernando, thank you very much.